Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to our morning show visit on WRCO Radio on a snowy morning, a frigid morning. We're glad that he made the trip over from the hill in Highland. Superintendent of Highland Schools, Josh Terrell, is on with us today. How you doing, Josh?
Good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You guys had school today, so after a couple of days, were you going to have Monday off anyway?
No, we were not. We were scheduled to have school Monday, but we were able to do a late start on Monday, and yesterday was not a go yesterday, just too cold.
Yeah.
But we're back at her today, so...
You have quite the interesting district, geography-wise, because you'll call me sometimes in the early morning hours, and boy, you get all kinds of roads over there, don't you?
We do, up on the old hill up there, you know, it's a little slick at times, but yeah, I get to call down here and talk to you once in a while, you know, check in, see how things are going.
Great, well, we're glad to have you here in person in the studio.
Well, I appreciate it.
So give us a little bit of a history lesson of Highland Schools in the district, if you would.
Well, actually, this is a big year for us, so we are celebrating our 150th anniversary this year, so we're gonna make some a big to-do out of as much as we can. And 2025 and 1875 was the first recognized public school in Highland's history, so we're working with the Historical Society in Highland, and our yearbook's dedicated this year. And this fall we're gonna have you know, try to make homecoming and a couple of activities and have some get-togethers. So we have a planning committee together now, and we have some community members on that. So we think it's going to be a good recognition for our school for, you know, 150 years. So we're excited.
That's an accomplishment. Are you aware of other area schools and like when they were incorporated? I mean, because that seems like a long time ago.
It does. It does. I'm not aware of too many other ones around us, but yeah, we just... You know, we were looking it up, and they found it, you know, a while ago, and said, geez, we got to do something about this. And that, you know, at first kind of just, hey, this is coming up here in a couple of years. So this year we're going to do her up and see how we can celebrate it. So I think it's a really proud thing for the Highland community to be in a district that long. So we're proud of it.
A lot of schools went by the wayside, you know, with, you know, being incorporated and things like that, and, you know, moving into other districts. But why do you think Highland has survived over the years, Josh?
You know, it's a great question. And, you know, I'm born and raised in Highland, so, and I'm 50 years old now. So, you know, even back when I was in school and, you know, the early 90s and through the 80s there, there was always a talk that, boy, you know, is Highland going to be around in 5 years? Is Highland going to be around in 5 years? And 5 years later, we're there. And 5 years later, and here we are, 150 years later, we're still, you know. But times are still tough. You know, budgets are tight, you know, for all districts. So it's still a, you know, every year you're pinching pennies and trying to do the best you can with the money that you have. So, but, you know, we got 150 years in, so we're pretty excited.
Yeah. So you did pass a referendum last year. Is that right?
We passed one in April, yeah. So So we are, you know, we're hoping, you know, every time you pass a referendum, it's thank you to, you know, we get great support from our community. So we obviously greatly appreciate that. So our goal is we can make it another, you know, 5-6 years before we have to go back again. So hopefully we can do that.
And that was for operations?
Operational, yeah. We got 600,000 went to recurring referendum, and it passed. And we passed, actually, with pretty good numbers, so we're very pleased. Before we went to referendum, we worked with school specialties. Darren Severs is the guy we worked with, great guy. And we put a survey out there and got the feel of where the community was and how comfortable we were with what we wanted to go with. And we felt pretty good about the number we went with. And we got very lucky and very fortunate. We have community support, and we were able to pass in April, so...
Yeah, that's awesome. Because you have a rural area there, and mainly rural in your school district, isn't it?
Yeah, mainly rural. We're, you know, obviously we're getting less and less dairy farmers out there, but we still have the same number of dairy cattle. You know, just farmers are bigger, and obviously we still need a lot of support from our rural area, so...
What about numbers in the district? How are they looking for the future, Josh?
Well, we've been dropping. You know, it's every year it's we get a little less. And, you know, we do the statistics and we look at it, and just Wisconsin schools alone, you know, 70% of districts in our state are on decreasing enrollment. So It's no secret that you need, you know, numbers as far as that's how your state aid is, you know, funded to the schools. And our numbers have been slowly decreasing as the last several years gone on. So it's getting tougher and tougher, unfortunately. So we're about 200 and just under 270 in our entire district, 4K through 12 now. So it's, you know, pinching pennies.
Let's talk about your staff. I think you're pretty proud of the people that work there.
Well, yeah, I've been in the district now for 15 years. And obviously, as I mentioned before, I went to school in Highland myself. But I started as a principal 15 years ago, and this is my second year as a superintendent. So I'm a superintendent slash principal now. And I have been extremely, extremely fortunate to have the staff that I get to work with every day. You know, our staff stick around. We've been very lucky that way. We have, and just the number of staff, I have 30 professional staff, 45 total staff that I work with, and I have very few turnover. So I've been very lucky that way on most positions. Now, we've had a couple that we've had to try to fill here in the last couple of years. We've had a really hard time keeping a business teacher. So we've been working with other districts. One thing great, you know, through the pandemic, with the COVID pandemic, you know, one thing that did come out of that was the ability to do a lot more outreach and not have to be in a certain place to get educated. So I will never say that having kids in a building is not the best thing to do. It is by far. But if we can reach out to other districts, for example, we have an accounting class that just started. We started our second semester this week, and we're having kids take accounting with working actually with Judah. So it's a great, you know, solution to problems when you can't find teachers. So teachers are really tough to come by nowadays. And so we've been lucky we can work with other districts and do that through distance learning.
So the teacher's actually in Judah, and your kids are watching it in Highland.
That's right. So we just, you know, plug in the old computers, and they have their laptops, and we can put it up on a screen, up on a smart board in front of the classroom, and they can enter, you know, it's just like the teacher's there. So we're very fortunate that we've done that, you know, and a lot of districts do, you know, and we have online options. But if we can have a teacher in front where they're actually asking questions, they can, you know, start the discussion where they're back and forth instead of an online class, it's a good thing for them. So we're lucky we can work it out that way.
Is it a possibility, Josh, in the future that you might be sharing staff with other districts where they would travel to another district for a couple of hours and then come to Highland as well?
Yeah, we're actually working with our grant currently. We've reached out, and they've reached out to us as well, and we've had one joint meeting together so far with the school boards. We're planning another one here so soon, and we'll do that. And then we're trying to, the biggest thing now is calendars. Can we get at least a close calendar and then the bell schedule? And you wouldn't think that'd be very hard to get on the same page, but schools get in a routine of what they like. And one thing that's different, you know, obviously it'd be more with our high school classes than any elementary. So we have, you know, an elementary through middle through high school all under one roof, where we have a schedule that works with all three, like lunchtimes, for example. You think it'd be something simple, but when we have to feed different groups and they have a less different lunch schedule, so time schedules get, you know, changed. But for the most part, though, we were able to work it out. We're pretty close. So if we do want to share staff, and we'd look at some stuff, for example, our early child, we don't have an early childhood program, so we work with our grant on that. We've had aides go back and forth here this year. So doing that has been helpful for both districts, I think.
You were involved, and you probably still are, in a program. We had a young woman come over and do like a job shadow with us, like a career thing, back and forth there for a little while. And that was, I think that was one of the requirements for her graduation, if I'm not mistaken. Does Highland still do that kind of thing?
We do. We call it our senior exit projects. We love it. We've been doing it now for, jeepers, I think over 10 years now. If I was to guess, it's got to be right in there somewhere. And we have Ms. Straka, Melissa Straka, and Jason Scanlon, two teachers, and now we added another one, Carrie Smith. We got a larger senior class, larger for our size school anyway. But so those three staff members are working with our kids, and it's just, we love it. The kids have to go out. They have to get, you know, 30 hours of work on a project. They have to do community service. They have to relate their project, how it can relate back to the community. We try to keep them community focused as we can. And boy, there's been some outstanding projects over the years, some great ones.
Yeah, my only drawback to that was I don't like it when you send a student that's more talented than me. You know, I mean, you gotta work on that.
Yeah, I got the same problem. Kids are a lot more talented than I am, too. So, yeah, we've been very proud. They got some great projects over the years that have gone through.
Yeah, you should be. Well, you know, we want to talk a little bit more about history, because I'm a history guy, but were you on the state football team back in 1991?
I was. Yeah. That was a fun year.
What was that like?
That was outstanding. thing. I'll never forget it. Obviously, we had a great team. You know, we had a quarterback that went on to play at Mankato State, John Hebby, and he broke a lot of records up there. I think he's in the Hall. I know he is. He's in the Hall of Fame at Mankato State now. So he was our quarterback, and we just had a great group of guys and a lot of seniors and upperclassmen at the time, seniors, juniors. We had a, you know, for our size school, it was D6 at that time, was the smallest school. But, yeah, we had a lot of fun. That was a great year. So end up getting beat by Shell Lake, you know, in the final hoorah. But never forget her. It was fun.
I remember that year, too, because I called some of those games. And the other thing that I remember was we set record cold that year. Yeah. Remember that?
I do remember that. We were supposed to play a game on the, and it got too cold, so they canceled it. But then we just had to get it in, so we went up and played one. It was, it was the frozen tundra, that was for sure.
It was a Monday night.
That's right.
It was at... Was it Marshall?
Marshall. That's right. Yeah.
And I remember just maybe the coldest I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, it was a cold one.
There was no heated booth, that's for sure.
No, didn't have heaters like the stuff that they do now, but it was cold.
Yeah. Such a proud moment, though, you know, when you get to that level, and you've been there, you know, with football and basketball as well, but you see that little Highland bus pull up to the big house, you know, I mean, that's just it's like a Hoosiers moment, isn't it?
It is, man. I don't know what it is, but I just love being from a small town. There's nothing better in my mind, so.
Right. Because football went again in the late 90s.
They did. They went in, it was in 96, something like that, and then we went again in 2000, mm-hmm. I believe, so. We went to state twice, sorry. We went in 2000, and we got beat that game, too, to, I want to say, Spring Valley.
That sounds right. Yeah. What is it about that Six Rivers Conference, too? I mean, it's just a blue-collar conference, isn't it?
It is. We've had some great teams out of there over the years. Now, obviously, we're part of the Bridge and Valley now, mm-hmm. as far as eight-man.
For
football. But the Six Rivers Conference, and, I mean, you look at sports back in the day, you know, and even today, we look at, you know, Blackhawks been to state and how many times and won at Potosi's been there. You know, it's just been a... It's a tough conference. River Ridge is tough every year. Potosi Cass, when I was a co-op and playing football, they're tough. But, you know, then we went to eight-man in football and had a heck of a year. Those boys were tough. You know, we got to state semis and had a heck of a year. And then you go back to the Six Rivers in our basketball sport. So, you know, the Six Rivers Girls Conference is just, it is a gauntlet of good teams. You know, I think there's four or five teams this year again ranked. So, but, and our boys basketball team's having a heck of a start to their year. Well, it's about halfway through now, I think. Yeah. And they're doing a great job. They're a lot of fun to watch.
They are. And I look at all of those teams that are ranked right now, and they're all small schools kind of from this area. You know, you begin with Royal, and then you have Southwestern and North Crawford. And, you know, I mean, you talk about a gauntlet, what that sectional's going to be.
Oh, that sectional for the boys. Yeah, it is a gauntlet. You better be playing your best ball. If you're off a night, somebody's going to tip you off. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, that's for sure.
It is. But what is it about the Six Rivers, too? Do they still have a lot of farm kids? Or it just kind of always seems to me like they've got big and strong athletes.
Yeah, I don't know. The farm kids are less and less now. You know, farms are few and far between now. They're just getting bigger and bigger. And so you don't see that too much, but it's just the same. I think it's that same mentality. I think just, yeah, like you said, blue collar, just get at it and play some ball, you know. So it's a lot of fun.
The conference has done like a crossover now, if I'm not mistaken. How does that work, Josh?
The boys do. Yeah.
Oh, just the boys?
Just the boys. Yeah, the girls now, as far as basketball, we move to one conference, kind of like they're doing softball in the spring. So we'll play every school in the West. We're in the West, so we'll play every school twice in the West and every school once in the East. But each of those games counts on your conference record. So that's the way we're running now. But the boys still do a crossover game at the end. They don't. There's less co-ops in the boys than there are the girls, so they're able to do that. So whatever place you are in at a certain point in the conference, you'll play that team on the other side. So if you're, you know, right now our boys are first place in the West, so they'll play the first place team in the East. So there's still mm-hmm. two conference champions, so there'll be an East champion and West champion. However, the conference record is a combination of both. It's a little different, but so that's how they're running it now.
And you being head girls coach, you must have to really divide your time wisely during the day, don't you, to get everything done?
You do. I was one thing that I was, worried about, but concerned, you know, if I would be able to do both jobs justice enough, you know, to be able to coach and be the head coach for girls basketball and still be the superintendent. But I tell you, it's a, you know, it's like a two-hour break for me, you know, where I can obviously work with kids on a different level than, you know, punching numbers in the office. Or so you get to be out with the kids. So I love it. But, you know, we'll see how long I can keep doing it. I don't know. I've been doing it for quite a while.
And you have daughters at play, too.
So. I do. I still have two daughters in high school. Yeah, I have one that's graduating college in May. And then I got my a senior and a sophomore. So.
Okay. Great. So as you look ahead to the future, how do you see the future, you know, for small schools and rural schools? I know they're hanging on. They're all proud of their communities and their districts.
Yeah, I tell you, that's another thing that, you know, it's something that concerns me, and it concerns, I think, a lot of people in our small towns, is how can we keep them going? You know, that's why it's so nice and proud to say that we are in, you know, as a district for 150 years, but in 5 years, will that be the best, or will we able to still do it? I don't know, with our numbers dropping, you know, and even like, you know, not just the smallest schools, you got, you know, your other schools that are still, like I said, when 70% of districts are still dropping, you know, schools are looking at different options and how, you know, the state funds our districts. It's very concerning. So it's always something that's in the back of our mind about what's best for kids and what's best for our community. And obviously we are the hub of our community. We need our community, something fierce, obviously, and they need us. So we need to work together and you know, do what's best for kids. But we're hoping that we can keep our district, you know, without having to consolidate. But if that's what's best for kids someday, it's definitely something we're going to have to consider at some point if things keep going the way they are. It's just one of those things, unfortunately, and some people might say fortunately, you know, they talk about more opportunities, you know, when you have, and is it a cost savings on whether it is or not, I don't know. You know, obviously everyone knows no matter where your kids go to school or you're paying taxes somewhere, you know, whether it's in your own district or it's a neighboring district that your kids go to, you're paying them somewhere. So, you know, I'd rather have it be in ours and, you know, keep our kids here and keep our district going and keep working with community like we do, so.
You have a great facility there. I consider it the new Highland High School. How long has it been there?
Well, our newest part, you know, our actually the original part of the new school, as people still call it, was actually finished in 96.
Okay.
So, and then the newest part where our elementary building is now was finished in 2006. So we're actually going to make our last payment on the newest portion of our building here this spring. So that'll be a nice little, you know, debt to have relieved. So, But yeah, that's the... It is. It's in great shape. You know, Mike is our maintenance director there. He does a great job keeping the building. You know, yesterday he was just watching everything, try to keep everything thawed out, you know, as cold as it was. But, yeah, I think we're in great shape as far as the building. Well, I mean, we started a Fund 46 here several years ago back in, you know, when Nancy Hendrickson was superintendent 5-7 years ago. And we've got that built up now. So what that is a fund where you keep that and you use it for, you know, projects that you have in your district around, like if you need a new roof, you need anything of that nature, you can use it for. So we've started that. We got a good reserve there now, so that'll help us out a lot.
I was just talking with somebody the other night about the old Highland High School, you know, and some of those schools and the history and, you know, in your gym, you had the tile floor there. Was it black tile?
That's right. When I played, it was black tile back in the day. Yeah. My kids, you know, that's the historical sightings now there.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
So kids would go down there and I say, Dad, take me around, you know, show me, you know, and they're intrigued. This is where I want, this is where my locker was. This is many moons ago now, Phil, many moons. But, yeah, it's still there. It's nice to see the, you know, walk in there once in a while and just reminisce.
Yeah, because they're pretty active, the Highland Historical Society, in that building.
They do.
Too.
They do. They do a good job. They got a lot of historical stuff down there now, and they do a good job you know, putting it on display, and they have things there every now and again to raise money, and yeah, it's pretty nice to see.
Good deal. Anything else you'd like to add this morning, Josh, about Highland, or, you know, your...
No, I'd just like to, you know, obviously, again, we want to thank our community for all the support that we get, and, you know, we did get a very nice donation here at the last board meeting. We had $1 million donation in the state, so I was just in awe, and obviously our community is, so Patrick Franz in the state.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he was born in Highland. His parents are both from Highland. So he just, when he first shot me an email, and I was looking at, you know, this is one of those scam things, you know.
Sure.
So I was looking
Wouldn't you think that?
That's right. Because you get those things, you got to be careful, right?
Yeah. So,
but I read the email through, and I said, boy, there's a couple of people, obviously, in the community that he's got named here. So I called him. I said, hey, do you know this person? And he says, yeah. He says, you need to give him a call. I said, okay. So So I called him up, and God, great guy. I talked to him for probably half an hour on the phone, and, you know, like I said, he's from Highland and has a lot of history there with his parents and grandparents, so he wanted to give back. He's done, obviously, well in his life and ran a great business, and in his estate, you know, when on his death, then he's donating $1 million to the school. So, wow. I mean, you don't have the words to thank somebody for something like that. So we're just in awe of it. So we appreciate that. So that's pretty awesome.
Every superintendent in the districts around us would love to have that, right?
Oh, yeah, anyone would. As, I had to rub that in at the last, you know, superintendent's meeting. Hey, just, and, you know, then nobody talked to me the rest of the meeting. So.
I can believe that. Oh, that is awesome. Well, Josh, thanks for coming down today. We appreciate your time.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
We'll talk to you again, and maybe you can come back and bring some of that good staff you have over there.
We'll do that.
Put
for
them
sure.
on the spot.
All right.
All right. Josh Terrell, superintendent of Highland Schools, joining us on this portion of the morning show. Our morning show continues on WRCO. We're going to switch gears and talk about a special event going on at the Brewer Public Library. We've been at it before, but the 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten Challenge is coming up. And in conjunction with CESA 3 of Fenimore and PBS Kids, we bring on via the phone line today, Jamie Hoekstra Collins, representing PBS Kids. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Phil. Thanks for inviting me to be here today.
Awesome to have you on the radio. So the program that is going to be presented at the Brewer Public Library, is this similar to programs that you're presenting across the state?
You know, this is actually so unique because of the different partners that are coming together. So we're thrilled to be included.
Awesome. Tell us about PBS Kids, because I think we're real well aware of the title, but tell us about what you do.
Well, I think most people think of PBS Kids as a series of shows and digital games. And so I travel around the state helping educators, librarians, and family resource specialists understand that we have a whole collection of multimedia resources. Oftentimes they're in English and in Spanish, and families can download and print different activities and materials. So I think there is just so much more within our digital collection than children and families might realize.
I know that you're a real advocate for early childhood literacy and reading to your kids.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it can sound intimidating when you think about 1,000 books before kindergarten. That's incredible, right?
Yes.
But we can think about how often we read the same book over and over to our child in terms of a traditional book, and the different digital stories that are available on PBS Kids and PBS Learning Media. So there's a great variety of literacy information that supports families in their child's literacy development, and we'll be sharing those on February 1st at the Brewer Public Library in Richland Center with you.
What are some of the hottest titles right now, the top books that you're aware of?
Oh, the top books. Well, I would venture out of the PBS world to say those, Phil. So I'm going to stick with our Daniel Tiger books.
There you go.
And the collection of all the different strategy songs and life little lessons where Daniel Tiger really supports children learning about how to navigate big feelings. And oftentimes we hear from family members that those songs are helpful for them as well.
Daniel Tiger has quite a history with PBS.
He definitely does. And I think some people are surprised to find out that he was an original puppet of Mr. Rogers. And that's where he got his start.
Mm-hmm. And that show has just kind of carried on that tradition, hasn't it?
Absolutely, yes.
Looking at some of the other resources that you provide, can you talk about that, what PBS Kids can do for the area?
Sure. And I think it's important to know that PBS Kids goes national across the United States, and then we have PBS Wisconsin Education resources as well. So Daniel Tiger comes to us from across the country, and then we also have shows that are related to materials that children love, from Molly of Denali in Alaska to Lila in the Loop in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's awesome. And again, this event is coming up on February 1st. Do people need to sign up or pre-register for it?
No, they are all welcome to join us.
Will you be on hand at the library?
I will, yes, along with my early learning manager, Marcy Glaus.
Awesome. Can you describe the program and what you'll be talking about that day?
Yes. Well, we'll be welcoming families into the library. There'll be a little Daniel Tiger scavenger hunt to acclimate them to the parts of the library that maybe they've never experienced before. We will have different family resource materials that support children's early literacy development, many of which are also from Sesame Workshop, which is a larger part of PBS Kids. We'll have information for older children about our new show that I mentioned called Lila in the Loop, where they can learn about different computational thinking strategies and games that are easy to play and navigate together.
Lila in the Loop. Can you tell us more about Lila in the Loop?
Sure. Lila in the Loop was just started last year, and it's a show about a little girl who lives and works in a diner with her family. And so she has to rethink all of the different steps involved in navigating the diner and also her life. So I think when we find that children can be overwhelmed with different situations, we have a show like Lila in the Loop that can help children break things down into steps with some pretty fantastic computational thinking strategies.
This is important for parents and grandparents and guardians, I think, to read to their kids, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Reading aloud, listening to stories, and ultimately really having that time to snuggle in together with one another and build that strong connection with love and this heightened sense of vocabulary that literacy can bring into their lives.
Because it starts with literacy. If you're a good reader, you're generally good in other subjects in school as well, right?
I definitely think so, Phil, yes. And part of that comes from this enhanced vocabulary that you develop because you have heard so much beautiful language in different stories that you've been read to or told.
Do you have a version for Spanish-speaking people as well?
We do, yes, and a whole collection of Daniel Tiger digital stories that are available in English and in Spanish.
Well, that is awesome. Anything else you'd like to add about PBS Kids or the upcoming event at the Brewer Library?
Well, we just hope to see your community there in support of early literacy. We're thrilled to be partnering with your incredible librarian and CESA and the hospital. So this is a really beautiful way for all of us to come together on behalf of children and families in the Richland Center area.
Thank you so much for being our guest today, Jamie.
Yes, thank you, Phil, for having me.
Jamie Hoekstra Collins from PBS Kids joining us on this portion of the morning show. We'll talk to the local staff of the Brewer Public Library coming up when the morning show continues. Next portion of our morning show, we have Library Director Stacy Pilla and Rachel Wilson, Program Coordinator here at the WRCU Studios from the Brewer Public Library. But in talking to Jamie, this sounds like a really super program here as we look at this, Stacy.
Yes. So on Saturday, February 1st, we would like to invite families with children ages 0 to 5, including kindergartners in Richland County, to come to the Brewer Public Library and join us for a fun and exciting adventure. And that adventure is a program called 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten, in which parents and caregivers will actually read 1,000 books with their child before they start kindergarten. That's the goal. And more on that later. But this event won't just involve signing up for the program. You'll have the opportunity to engage with all the fun activities from PBS Kids that Jamie described, as well as have your child sign up for their first library card if they don't already have one, and to attend one of our wonderful story times and get acquainted with our weekly story times and keep coming back each week, we hope.
1,000 books before kindergarten. Does it count, Rachel, if you read the same book like 10 times or... Yeah. How does that work?
Absolutely. As a parent, you know, kids, reading to my kids, I felt like we read the same book over and over and over again. So, yeah, definitely you can read the same book as many times as possible. So,
because kids have their favorites,
yes,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, and us as adults do as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
6-5 and see how easy it can be to own your own home. Why rent when you can own? The Schultz Mortgage Team, helping you say goodbye to renting and hello to your new home.
Whenever you're in Southwest Wisconsin, you're never far from someone who trusts BL Signs. From the van with a sleek wrap you're meeting to the business sign that welcomes you before you step out of the car or the restaurant sign that makes your mouth water, BL Signs is behind it all. With a reputation for delivering projects on time, on budget, and with the highest quality, BL Signs of Richland Center is your go-to for all things signage. Visit them online today at blsignage.com.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News time today at 6:30 is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. Today, chilly but lots of sunshine, a high of around 15, with northwest winds around 10, mostly clear, rather cold tonight, and 3 degrees below zero. The winds have picked up, currently around 10 miles per hour. The actual air temperature is 4 degrees.
Making the transition to a smaller space can be overwhelming, but with A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet, it doesn't have to be. Our knowledgeable team will help you select the perfect pieces to create a cozy and functional living space that fits your needs and budget. From lift chairs to adjustable beds and small dining sets, we have a variety of comfortable and affordable options to choose from. Visit our showroom today at 172 South Church Street and let us help you make your new house feel like home.
I'm Phil Nee. It is an on-time morning, no delays or cancellations from the area schools. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers wants to improve mental health services for students. At Wednesday night's State of the State address, Evers announced a $300 million plan to expand training for counselors and improve what services are already in place, including suicide prevention programs. Evers also called for common sense gun control and announced investments in water quality and removing lead from water supplies. His proposals will face challenges in the Republican-controlled legislature. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says Evers laid out a long list of partisan demands that does not bring Wisconsin together. Voss says Republican lawmakers will pass legislation that would reverse new Department of Public Instruction standards. Voss says Republican lawmakers will also pass legislation that requires all law enforcement in Wisconsin to cooperate with the Immigration Service to deport those who commit a serious crime and are being held in Wisconsin jails or prisons. During his State of the State speech, Evers called for funding for child care, gun control, and bipartisan efforts to address immigration. Lawmakers in Madison are likely to be at odds over school funding.
State Schools Superintendent Jill Underley's request for an additional $3 billion for K-12 schools follows last year's high number of local funding referendums. In a newsmaker's interview with Wisconsin Eye, State Senate President Mary Felskowski said districts need to prioritize needs.
School districts are independent, and they can decide on what they're going to fund. I see school districts funding needs, and I see school district funding wants. So that's local control.
Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hasselbein said the state needs to increase funding.
Over half, I think, of the school districts in 2024 went to referendum, and they voted to raise their own costs because they love their community schools, their public schools, their neighborhood schools, and it's because the state hasn't been funding them appropriately.
Republicans who approved record K-12 funding in the last state budget are unlikely to sign off on what Underley and Democratic Governor Tony Evers are asking for. At the Capitol, Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Cash bond is set at $500,000 for a man accused of setting fire to Congressman Glenn Grothman's office. Caden Stakowitz is charged in Fond du Lac County Court with arson, attempted burglary, and making terrorist threats. According to the criminal complaint, Stakovich set fire to Grothman's office in Fond du Lac, causing minor damage early Sunday morning. He allegedly told police the act was in response to the banning of a social media platform, TikTok, in the USA, which Grothman voted in favor for. Stakovich faces up to 56 years in prison if convicted. A Madison man entered a plea agreement for a crash that killed a retired Madison firefighter. Online court records show 40-year-old Michael Norsetter Shiner entered a no-contest plea in Dane County Court on Tuesday to a homicide by negligently operating a vehicle. A judge accepted the plea and found Norsetter Shiner guilty in the crash that killed 77-year-old Roderick Anderson. Prosecutors said Norsetter Shiner was racing another car and traveling at approximately 107 miles per hour before hitting Anderson's SUV on Madison's north side in November of 2023. Norsetter Shiner will be sentenced on April 10th. Yulia Madison has replaced the leader of the Division of Diversity, Equity, and Educational Achievement. WizPolitics reports Dr. LeVar Charleston will no longer head the division after concerns were raised about financial operations and fiscal judgments. Charleston has led the division for 3 years and will return to his backup appointment as clinical professor in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis. A release from the UW did not specify what the financial concerns were, but that students should see no immediate impact and that existing events and programs will continue under the temporary leadership of Provost Charles Isbell Jr. State Representative Dave Murphy chairs the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities. He told WizPolitics that he did not feel the position was necessary and the division itself could be eliminated in favor of funneling dollars to the classroom. A Northwest Wisconsin man arrested for the alleged arson of a strip club. Investigators say the fire at Shooter's Showgirls Strip Club in Elk Mound was intentional. Leads and surveillance footage led to the arrest of 25-year-old Colton Jansen of Comstock, said Dunn County Sheriff Kevin Bide on Tuesday. The establishment was destroyed by fire early Saturday morning, and investigators determined it was caused by arson. Police said Jansen was interviewed, and he allegedly admitted his involvement. A motive was not given. He was arrested and booked in the Dunn County Jail on Tuesday with formal charges pending. DeForest leaders have decided to wait on voting whether to remove fluoride from their water. The mineral helps prevent tooth decay and is added to municipal water supplies. There's a growing movement across the country as people claim fluoriding the water could cause health issues. But more than 3,000 studies show fluoride in water does not cause health problems. In fact, some experts say putting fluoride in our water is one of the most effective public health strategies in American history. The McFarland Village Board has also been considering whether to remove the mineral from their water supply, but last night decided to postpone the vote to get more public input. If you're looking for that perfect gift or something special to brighten up your home, look no further than TriStar Gifts and More, located at 1651 U.S. Highway 14 East next to Dunkin' Donuts in Richland Center. They offer a friendly atmosphere filled with adorable, funny, and unique items. From beautiful candles to stunning metal art, TriStar Gifts has something for everyone. Visit them today or call 383-1280 for more information. TriStar Gifts and More, your one-stop shop for home decor and gifts for any occasion. Today, a high of 15, chilly, but lots of sunshine. Northwest winds around 10. Mostly clear tonight and rather cold, a low of 3 degrees below zero. A high of 20 Friday, morning sunshine, then clouds gradually build in. Friday night, cloudy with a few flurries possible, a low of 15. And Saturday, 33, variable clouds, breezy and mild, a slight chance of flurries through midday. In Richland Center yesterday, 23, up to about a half inch of snow here at the studios. And right now, with a little bit of a wind blowing from the east-northeast, wind chills slightly below zero. Barometer is at 30.11, and after a low of 3, it is 4 degrees.
Please record your message.
Hey, it's me, your car. I hate to bother you again, but you hearing these sounds? Sounds like this and this. I mean, those screeches could be my brakes. And those clunky noises, I have no idea. One thing is for certain, the team at TC Auto Works in Richland Center has the brains and equipment to diagnose and repair all my issues. They service and repair all vehicles, foreign and domestic. So call now for an appointment. 608-383-1700. TC Auto Works, Highway 14, East Richland Center. Call now.
Wisconsin's forest landowners cut timber from their land for a variety of reasons. The timber is mature. Some plan a harvest as part of their management plan. For others, the harvest may be a salvage operation in response to an unexpected natural disaster, such as a fire or windstorm. Landowners have trusted Meister Log & Lumber since 1936. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call at Meister Log & Lumber at 608-434-4413 today.
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex. Dive into greater community and healthier living. And by the Homesteaders Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look at the schedule for tonight. The Bucks fly home without a game last night as well. And also, the Packers listing a rookie offensive lineman as one of the breakout stars for the future.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
On tonight's area sports schedule, Richland Center will play host to Prairie du Chien in girls basketball. It's varsity only. The game will get underway around 6:30 tonight at Richland Center High School. Dodgeville plays at River Valley on the girls schedule, and Platteville at Lancaster, DeSoto at Lansing Key, Iowa, and Highland at Benton, Wisconsin Heights visits New Glarus. Boys basketball tonight, Lafarge at Weston. It's Riverdale at Cuba City, Fenimore at Darlington, Mineral Point at Boscobel, Wazika Steuben is at Cassville, Reedsburg at La Crosse Logan, Westby at Luther, and West Salem at Viroqua, Wadiwak Center Boys playing at Nisita, Hillsboro at Royal, New Lisbon at Brookwood, and Bangor at Cashton. The winter storm that dumped 10 to 12 inches of snow on New Orleans has forced the postponement of the Bucks game. The weather could have been and actually having a greater impact moving forward. Milwaukee scheduled to play the second of back-to-back games tonight in Miami against the Heat. It's a nationally broadcast event, but it could be delayed too. As of last night, the team was having trouble getting out of New Orleans. Louis Armstrong International Airport canceled all takeoffs. The NBA and multiple college teams are confronting that mix of snow in the southern and southeastern area conferences. Also, Jimmy Butler has been suspended by Miami for the second time in 3 weeks, this time for two games. The team says it suspended Butler for what it described as a continued pattern of disregard of team rules and conduct detrimental to the team. It came after Butler missed the Heat's flight to Miami on Wednesday. Butler was earlier suspended for seven games for conduct detrimental to the team. He has told the Heat in recent weeks he wants to be traded. The new suspension adds to the possibility Butler has played his last game for Miami, but he will not be playing against the Bucks this evening. And again, I think that story might be wrong. I believe the game is in Milwaukee this evening. Tip-off time at 6:30. The University of Wisconsin volleyball team is among the top money-earning women's college sports programs. The Badgers are third, according to Sportico.com. Only UConn women's basketball and Nebraska volleyball rate higher. Ticket sales for the 22-23 season generated more than $1.5 million for Wisconsin athletics. Pro Football Focus lists Packers rookie offensive lineman Jordan Morgan among the young NFL players who could break out next season. A shoulder injury wiped out his rookie year after he appeared in only 6 of 17 games. He was Green Bay's first-round pick in the 24 NFL draft. Morgan is currently recovering from mid-season surgery, which was performed last fall.
The Jets and Aaron Glenn have agreed to terms on making the Detroit Lions defensive coordinator their head coach. Glenn oversaw the Lions defense the past 4 years and beat out 15 other candidates for the job as the Jets went through an extensive search. Last night, in-state college basketball, Indianapolis over Green Bay, 86-77. Milwaukee beat Wright State, 95-79. The Marquette women over Providence, 67-54. And in-state WEAC action, it was Whitewater, 74, Platteville, 68. La Crosse, 77, River Falls, 56. Eau Claire over Stout, 81-53. And Oshkosh beat Stevens Point, final score, 60-43. I am Phil Nee with sports. What do you get with a membership to Simon's Recreation Complex? Warm indoor pool, relaxing hot tub, steamy sauna, racquetball, exercise classes, exercise equipment, strength equipment, and lots of help from new friends. Exercise when it works best for you. Simon's Recreation Complex exercise rooms are available to members 24/7 with a keyless entry device. Would you like to learn how to swim or learn how to swim better? Simon's is offering classes or private lessons for adults and children. Call today, 608-647-8522. Visit in person or visit online at simonsrec.com. Let Simon's Recreation Complex and Richland Center be your partner in change. Remember, you provide the commitment to fitness, and Simon's has the means to make it happen.
Get ready for a flavor explosion at Utter Brothers Creamery in Boscobel. From crispy cheese curds to juicy cheeseburgers, every bite is a delight. You won't want to miss the hot ham and cheese or the classic BLT. Feeling adventurous? Grab some corn dog nuggets or mini tacos for a fun twist. And for those who love a crunch, don't forget about the crispy chicken sandwich and onion rings. Utter Brothers Creamery has something for everyone. Call 608-391-3120 to learn more and come on in for a tasty treat.
And it sounds like it's just going to be a real fun thing. You know, you're talking about a Daniel Tiger scavenger hunt, Stacey?
Yes, Daniel Tiger will be the star of the show. We will have a scavenger hunt in the children's room. Children can walk around the library, get acquainted with the library itself, and search for Daniel Tiger to see how many they can find. And there will be photo ops with Daniel Tiger and other PBS Kids characters, in addition to the activities that PBS will bring.
PBS Kids, that's kind of the hot thing among the young set right now, isn't it?
It is, and they have so many amazing resources that we think this is a fabulous way to get children and families engaged in early literacy activities in addition to the 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten program. Lots of free resources and tools that they can get acquainted with and continue to access from home for free as they go along through this journey.
Rachel, I'm sure you're hoping that this will, maybe some people that have never visited the Brewer Public Library before will kind of realize the resources that you have, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're always trying to introduce new and exciting programs and events. So it's hopefully, yeah, it draws a new crowd and our existing crowd that that continue attending all the events. We're just happy to see anybody come into the library.
I get a day, the day to celebrate list every day. Did you know that today, the fourth Wednesday of January, is Library Shelfie Day? Did you know that?
No.
Didn't know that?
I didn't.
There's a program for that.
There is? Yeah, I'm sure there is. It says, on this day, book lovers share selfies of themselves in front of library shelves and in front of shelves of their personal book collections, and these can be displayed as shelfies on social media. So there you go. When you go back to the library today.
We'll make that happen.
Make that happen.
Rachel will make that happen.
Yeah.
That is great. So you know, I guess some other questions about the library. You have so many other resources. Do you still have the Tech Help Tuesdays? Mm-hmm.
Yes,
we do. Yes, we do. In fact, that is ongoing right now. Joe Scribbins is our technical services librarian and is available, especially on Tuesday mornings, to give people a hand with whatever tech help they might be looking for. And he's also available by appointment.
Every time I read that community calendar announcement, I'm thinking, I need to go to that.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a lot of good ideas and tips. So
definitely.
Yeah. Sure. Come in anytime.
What about some other special programs coming up at the Brewer Public Library? Anything that you'd like to recognize today?
Yeah. So story time is probably our most attended and popular program. On Wednesday afternoons, we have after school kids that come in, and we've had some really great mystery readers or guest readers. Marty Richards and Tess Barr Hamlin came in the last couple weeks. And the after school kids have really seemed to like those, guest readers. You never know what they're going to pick to read, so it's kind of fun to see, what each reader chooses. We have Legos, and we have Pokemon Club coming on Monday night, Monday afternoon, I should say. And lots of different things. Story times will be changing in February a little bit. We're going to add what we'll call toddler tales and on Tuesday mornings, where kind of the toddler age group will have their own story time where they can come and possibly hold their own board books and just learn, what a book is and how to hold it and, just those beginner reader things to learn about. And what other events? Oh, the Borgia Rose event is a special event coming up.
Borgia's author event is coming up on February 8th. Katie Albaugh, local author, will join us for an author talk on that day. We do still have free copies of the book available at the library. If anyone would like to pick those up while supplies last, just a few left. But story time itself is definitely one of the programs that we hope to hook our youngest patrons on. We have Taylor Ann Brule is currently leading our story time. She does a fantastic job. Very engaging storyteller. And at the 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten event, we will also have we'll have a series of story times that morning, two in English and two in Spanish. So we want to make this event very accessible to the community. We'll also have bilingual guides who can steer people throughout the event and answer questions.
Do you have a large population of Hispanic-speaking people that come in?
And, we have some, and we would certainly like to be as welcoming as possible and encourage them to come out, get a library card, and utilize the services that the library can offer.
And that library card is free, right?
That library card is free.
That's awesome. And you don't charge fines anymore, too. Is that correct?
No late fines any longer. As long as the items come back, there's no charge.
Have you ever had a book come back? Like, we read about those all the time in the news, like from 50, 60 years ago, that all of a sudden mysteriously shows up in the box. Have you had that happen?
I haven't had that happen. I think the oldest was maybe about 5 or 6 years. So that's a pretty good record in itself.
Still, that's a long time. Rachel, you talked about the community readers, too. It's kind of interesting to see what books they pick. Is it generally a book that maybe they grew up reading? Or
it is. A lot of our people who have been guest readers, their parents or grandparents themselves, so they have chosen books that they have enjoyed reading to their kids or grandkids. And you can tell they maybe have done guest reader presentations or something before, because they choose something that is, pertains to their daily work. So so it's kind of fun to see what they come up with.
Sure. And you got to show the pictures too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the kids like to see the pictures, and they have a lot of questions sometimes. So it's kind of fun to see that interaction.
If someone needs a computer, do you have a room? Do you have to reserve a space there? How does that work, Stacy?
We have a good supply of public computers, and generally there's one available at any given time. So they're available anytime the library is open.
What about the history room? Is that open the regular time that the library is open?
It has a bit different hours. Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 9 to 4, the history room is open and by appointment.
Okay. And that is a fascinating spot where people can do a lot of research, especially if you're looking back, maybe even some family tree things and everything, right?
Definitely. And the history room also has a Facebook page, so you can follow from home, and so many fun and interesting old pictures posted there and good stories shared on that page.
Yeah, it's a real treasure for the area. That's true. Are there any job openings?
We do have a job opening currently. We are looking for a part-time library assistant for 12 hours per week, no weekend work. So please apply if interested.
All right. What about the hours of operation, Rachel?
Yeah, so we're open Monday through Friday, Monday through Thursday, 9 until 6, and then Fridays on from 9 until 5, and then Saturdays 10 to 2.
I think the goal of both of you is just to instill that love of reading at a young age. That's kind of the whole goal of being here today, isn't it, Stacey?
Most definitely. We really want to reach families with young children and encourage them to immerse children in early literacy opportunities. It's so critical. Studies show that children who are struggling at the fourth grade level had been struggling at the first grade level. So we definitely want to get in there right off the bat and encourage those skills so that they enter school ready to go and they're successful.
And promoting that, holding an actual book in your hand, Rachel, that's something else to get them started young, right?
Yeah, it is. It makes a lot of difference. It'll instill a lifelong love of reading, like Stacey mentioned. So, sometimes having an actual book in your hand and one you can keep, because we do have those options as prizes in this program as well, other than just library materials too that you can check out and borrow. But yeah, it'll be nice to be able to have those options for the kids who come.
Definitely. I think starting that home library, as kids progress through this program, they'll be able to earn books that they keep, so they'll have their own library at home to continue that reading process well after they're finished with the 1,000 books program. And it really, it sounds kind of daunting, 1,000 books in a short period of time, but if you think about it, if you're reading 2 books every night at bedtime, you will read well over 700 books in a year. So really in a year and a half with just 2 books a day, you can get through this program and with tremendous impacts on your child.
You don't want people to feel guilty thinking that, I've only got a half year before my kid goes to kindergarten. I mean, sure. If you don't make it, do the best you can then, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the whole goal, is just to, even if you don't make it before kindergarten, as the program's, hopes or challenges you, the whole point is just to get them to enjoy reading at some point. So
great.
That's a good place to start.
We hope that people will come out on the 1st of February for the event. And what are the hours for that again, Stacey?
10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And our story times will run every half hour. So if you drop in at a time where you can take advantage of that, as well as float around the library, take the scavenger hunt, enjoy the PBS Kids activities, and the other community resource information that we'll have available on tables, you should have plenty of time to get through before we're finished at 1 p.m.
Well, Jamie talked about the top books. Of course, she only wanted to talk about the Daniel Tiger and the PBS Kids ones. But what are the hot books right now for the young set, 0 to 5?
Oh,
I would say Bluey.
Bluey, sure.
Bluey books are really popular. Of course, the classics, Berenstain Bears, Going on a Bear Hunt. Those classic kind of board books that that have been really popular. Any of Eric Carl books. And an author by the name of Dory John is really popular, like The Bad Seed and The Big Cheese. Those books are almost always checked out. So,
and as Jamie mentioned, the PBS series characters are great for social emotional learning. So much valuable content with Daniel Tiger, and we do have a great selection of Daniel Tiger books.
Awesome. What about Dr. Seuss? Dr. Seuss still relevant?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it
is. It's just the test of time.
It has. I bet it has.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for all you do. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, Beth. Thank you.
We appreciate it. Library Director Stacey Pilla and Rachel Wilson, Program Coordinator, and we hope that everybody will join the 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten Challenge here in the community and join the event on Saturday, February 1st at the Brewer Public Library from 10 until 1.
Hi, my name is Brittany Penfield, and I'm the 4-year-old kindergarten teacher at the Ithaca School District. I, along with other Ithaca staff, want to give a warm welcome to families interested in having their child attend Ithaca Public Schools. We will be holding our annual developmental and 4K screening event, which gives school staff an opportunity to meet future students and address any possible concerns that families may have about their child's development. To be eligible to participate in the screening, children must turn 3 years old or 4 years old on or before September 1st, 2025. Our screening remaining days will be held on Thursday, January 23rd and Friday, January 24th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Ithaca Elementary School. Parents and guardians may register their child online and sign up for a screening appointment for their child by following two links located on the Ithaca Public Schools Facebook page regarding screening. When arriving for a screening appointment, families will enter through the main office doors and be directed to our screening locations. While children are working with our school staff, parents will learn how they can help their child to be prepared for school and receive information about community resources for young children. Each screening appointment will take approximately 1.5 hours. If parents or guardians have any questions about registration or signing up for an appointment, please call Brittany Penfield, 4K teacher, at 608-585-2311, extension 513, or emailing brittany@ithaca.k12.wi.us. Additional information and forms will be sent to families prior to the screening date. We look forward to meeting our future Bulldogs.
The Riverdale Communities Education Foundation 2025 Winter Carnival is coming up Saturday from 11 until 3 at Riverdale Elementary School. Free games, bounce houses, face painting, prizes, concessions, bounce house wristbands just $10. Bounce houses provided by Thunder Showers LLC. Free admission. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, and neighbors, stop by and see the kids have a great time and enjoy some great food as well. With all proceeds going to the Riverdale Communities Education Foundation. The 2025 Winter Carnival is Saturday from 11 until 3 at Riverdale Elementary School. Everyone from all area districts will be welcome. The Riverdale Communities Education Foundation 2025 Winter Carnival is coming up Saturday from 11 until 3 at Riverdale Elementary School. Free games, bounce houses, face painting, prizes, concessions, bounce house wristbands just $10. Bounce houses provided by Thunder Showers LLC. Free admission. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, and neighbors, stop by and see the kids have a great time and enjoy some great food as well. With all proceeds going to the Riverdale Communities Education